Welcome to the jungle, a tremendous Tuesday to you. What's up? Great to be back. Hope you had a good weekend. I know I did. I hope you did as well. Sorry I took yesterday, but if I don't use it, I lose it. So I had to do it. All right, nice to have you here. Lots to get done. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Good, good show. Let me set it up. Telephone number is toll-free, and I'm going to hit that hard right now because we are wide open in hour number one. Open phones in the first hour. That's the best opportunity for you to get through. Starting hour number two, I've got back-to-back interviews, so you want to call me right now. If there's something that you wanted to hit me with yesterday, but I wasn't here, go ahead and do it now. It holds. It carries. It jumps the day. 1-800-636-8686. If you're new to our simulcast, hit us up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. And I normally don't say it, but you should find my Facebook page, because you clones are becoming more and more a part of the Facebook page. We're putting up some of your calls there. Also, I was talking to our EP, Adam Hawk, yesterday. We are compiling a database of the best callers. Artwork. Picks, the like. I am still the idol maker. If you call the show and you have any kind of game whatsoever, any kind of rap, people will know about it. They will hear it here. They will see it on TV. They'll see it on Facebook. It'll work its way back to Twitter. More now than ever, you should step your game up and make that phone call. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. So we're wide open right now. In hour number two, pitchers. Catchers, getting ready to report, John Smoltz, a Hall of Famer and an analyst with MLB Network, joins us. Also in hour number two, Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. Top of hour three, Xavier Guard, Trayvon Blewett. All of that and your phone calls and an awesome podcast today. It is Podcast Tuesday, Ep 24. Molly Bloom is going to be my guest. Maybe you've seen her movie. Molly's Game. It's awesome. It's an amazing story. An amazing story. So that's going to drop a little bit later on today. As far as your voicemail calls for Ep24, not as amazing. But you lived to fight another day, didn't you? You lived to fight another week. All right, first things first, believe it or not, I'm starting with the Olympics. I am starting with the Olympics. We are a few days now into the Winter Olympics, and let me ask you this. What has been your favorite moment so far? What has been your favorite moment so far? Chris Masder winning the first medal for America in singles luge. Good moment. Maybe it was 17-year-old Red Garrard oversleeping after binging Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Netflix and then rolling out and winning gold in the slopestyle. I know my fam loved that. Love that guy. Maybe it was Adam Rippon killing it on the ice, then on Twitter, and declaring, quote, "There are so many emotions when I step on the ice. I want to represent my country to the best of my abilities. I want to make Reese Witherspoon proud," end quote. It's a good line. Really good line. All those things are awesome. I was into all of that. But they were just lapped last night by a 17-year-old born in Long Beach, raised in Torrance, right here in SoCal, America. Meet Chloe Kim. And if you have not already met her, there is really nobody quite like her. A prodigy who learned to board as a four-year-old in the local mountains here in California. She made the Olympic team as a 13-year-old, but by rule was too young to participate. And since then, there has been nothing but hype and expectation. And as you know, almost nothing ever lives up to ridiculous hype and expectation. However, she murdered both in ripping the gold. And honestly, she could not be any cooler or any more likable either. But when she straps a board to her feet and drops into the half pipe, she is a killer. And when she's on Twitter, she might be even better. So if you've been paying attention to the buildup, you knew Chloe Kim was coming. That was not some lucky win. That was not some overnight success. The hype had been building because she's awesome, both on and off the half pipe. As an example, check out this combination of tweets from earlier in the week. She jumps on Twitter and says, quote, "I'm so nervous." I mean, it's cool, right? It's charming. What athlete before any major event jumps on Twitter and says, "I'm so nervous"? That in and of itself was good, but then she chased it with, and I quote, "Oh, and I also had two churros today, and they were pretty bomb. So if you ever get nervous, go eat a churro." Hell yes.
Hell yeah.
Words to live by. So that took the pre-Olympics hype to a whole new level. Most others in her position are privately gripping, trying to spin the clock, trying to get to the day that they've spent their entire lives dreaming of and working for. In short, freaking out. And she's tweeting about smashing churros. But as always, very few things ever live up to the hype. And that hype went to another level when she tweeted between qualifying runs. All right, that's something else. Anybody else, if you tweet during a game, or you tweet during halftime, or you tweet during a timeout, it's not a good look. She tweets in between qualifying runs that she could, quote, be down for some ice cream right now. When somebody replied to her saying, "Aren't you competing right now?" And again, we're not talking about some spring game. We're not talking about some meaningless regular season game. We are talking about the Olympics. Quote, "Aren't you competing right now?" She responded with yes. And when the NBC Olympics account put up a poll asking what kind of ice cream she should get, she herself jumped in with, "Cookies and cream is some good stuff. If anyone can get some to the village, that'd be dope," end quote. Man, that tweet is dope. And what came afterwards in the final was even better than the cookies and cream, because on her very first of three runs, she scores a 9.3 or 93.75. None of the other 11 finalists could match that. That was a legendary run, and it came right after a legendary tweet. She tweeted, quote, and again, this is all in the middle of the competition, "When I finished my breakfast sandwich, but my stubborn self decided not to, or wish I had, my stubborn self decided not to, and now I'm getting hangry." Hangry. So what I'm getting at is this. The old rap about Twitter was that it was just people tweeting about what they had for breakfast. This is somebody tweeting about what they had for breakfast between runs in the Olympic finals. It's incredible. First off, having her phone with her during the Olympic finals is pretty amazing. Thumbing out that tweet is even better. That'd be like LeBron hitting an Instagram post during a timeout and then dropping 50 on the Celtics. And according, you want to talk about somebody stepping up their Twitter game. According to the official Twitter data account, when at Chloe Kim Snow dropped into the half pipe, she had 15,000 followers. By the time she finished her run, she had tweeted about her sandwiches and earned a gold medal. She had over 100,000 new followers, and that number's still much higher. And then her day only got better because nobody caught her score from the first run. She had the gold medal in the bag before her final run. She could have just done the highest profile heel slide ever and still would have been on top of the podium. But instead, she lets it rip and nails not one, but two 1080s and scores a 98.75. And as she said, quote, "I knew that if I went home with the gold medal, knowing I could do better, I wasn't going to be satisfied," end quote. That's why she's a legend. That's what makes the Olympics special. The Olympics are like this. There's that combination of people who grind away in anonymity for years in sports that the general public doesn't really pay attention to or really care. Folks for whom just reaching the Olympics is winning a medal. But then you've got the breakout stars. Then you've got athletes like Chloe Kim who transcend their sport because of their ability and their personality. So go ahead, put her on a Wheaties box, put her on an ice cream container, get her a breakfast sandwich box. I mean, why she doesn't already have her own reality show, I have no idea. Because she is a blast. And we could all use a little more of a star who's tweeting about breakfast sandos and being hangry in the biggest competition of her life. I think she's great. I love her. I think she's amazing. She's got crazy killer it. As always, it's hard to explain what it is, but you know it when you see it. And she's got a crazy amount of it. So much so that I was more than happy to lead this show at the Olympics and, in fact, was eager to lead the show at the Olympics. Chloe Kim rules. What an amazing story that is. And there's so much more to that story, too. As a four-year-old, she learned to board at Mountain High here in SoCal? It's incredible. 1-800-636-8686. Are you watching the Olympics? Are you into the Olympics? What's your biggest takeaway from the Olympics thus far? Let's go ahead and hit it. Meantime, I do want to talk about the Cavaliers. Because I was off yesterday, I didn't have a chance to come in here yesterday and talk about the Cavaliers smashing up the Celtics. It jumps today. You know I've got thoughts on it. And I will get to that a little bit later on. Our old pal Johnny Manziel made an appearance. Kind of going on a media tour, did a few interviews, saying the right things, explaining a few things that we didn't know. As always, is he sorry for what he did, or is he sorry for the position he's in? Would he have any chance whatsoever to get any legitimate look from an NFL team? I saw the interview and Good Morning America, and I've got thoughts on that too. I want to get into it. So if you want to talk about Johnny Manziel, go ahead and do it. Decades from now, I think that we will all know the answer to this question. Where were you when? It's a handful of things in your life, right, that sets up for. Where were you when? You're like, where were you when OJ went on that slow speed chase? Where were you when Bucknell came back on Colgate? We'll all be able to answer that question. I know where I was. We always talk about athletes and what they do when they finish playing the game. Do you have a plan? Are you working that plan? When do you start that plan? Apparently, Esteban Loaiza had a plan. He was going to sell lots and lots and lots and lots of toot, allegedly. I mean, when I say lots of toot, pounds of toot. Pounds of the Bolivian marching powder. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of the Bolivian marching powder. Allegedly, which I will get to. My man Von Miller, man, he's got a hunger. You're talking about a guy who's hangry. My man wants Kirk Cousins to ball with the Broncos so bad. I'll have that for you too. Let's go to the early reaction on Twitter. Rich in the 970 tweets, I am eagerly awaiting the first Olympian to go live on Periscope while zipping down the bobsled course. Somebody might, somebody will. You know, again, this kind of thing generally is frowned upon in any other sport at any other time because you're not focused on what you should be doing, right? What are you doing with your phone during a game or during a timeout or during halftime? But for her, it works. I mean, she's amazing. She's got such unbelievable charisma and game, and she's utterly fearless and just crushed it. For all that expectation, all the hype, everybody looking at her, and she drops in and nails the gold on her first run while tweeting about it in between runs and talking about how she was kicking herself for not finishing her breakfast sando. The whole explanation was so great, too. She's like, yeah, you know, my stubborn self. I wanted to eat the whole thing, but then I decided, nah, I'll just save it, and I'm going to talk to my friends instead. She is so cool and funny and freaky talented. At Brad Father Speak tweets, Chloe Kim is right. Eating junk food is great for nervousness. You can imagine how nervous I am before games. Signed, Andy Reid. War Fat Tuesday. Fat! You know, there's nervous eating, there's comfort food. She said it. I'm nervous. It's the Olympics. And then I ate two bomb churros. So eat a churro when you're nervous. I don't know, Brad. Like, when she says it, it's super cool and really funny. When you say it and you slam it into a Fat Tuesday Andy Reid joke, it's neither cool nor funny. At Steve PHX, why do I not trust this guy to contribute anything positive to the program? Like, without even reading it, I already know it's going to end badly. I just see those three letters, PHX. And I know it's Steve, and I know it's not going to end well. And Steve shocked me. All right, I'll play along. At Steve PHX tweets, meet Chloe, Kim. Signed, OJ, introducing his new daughter to her sister.
Oh.
It's an absolutely imbecile tweet. Nobody thought that was funny, Steve. Believe me. I speak for all of America. Nobody thought that was funny. Not only did I spend the entire open on it, I went fat on the open with it. very clearly, you can tell that was a great moment to me in the Olympics. I respect her. I admire her. And you're already trying to wreck it with terrible O.J. Simpson resets. Oh, I get it. Chloe, O.J.'s allegedly Chloe's dad. Oh, I see what you did there, Steve. Not funny. In fact, pretty imbecilic. And you clones can't help yourselves, right? Here come the Fat Tuesday blasts. Here they come. When we return, I will do my very best to weed out the garbage and maintain the integrity of a talk show that I've worked very hard to build. Stop trying to take food off my plate and tear down what I've worked so diligently to build up. Try your hardest, clones. John Smoltz and Damian Lillard coming up next hour. Trayvon Blewett in the third hour. Podcast Tuesday, Ep 24, dropping later today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
More predictable than many of you making really, really lame fat jokes for Fat Tuesday is Canada coming in here to call us fat. Like this guy. Hey, Rome, props to you and all other Americans for showing up to work on Fat Tuesday. Also, props for showing up on Fat Wednesday and Fat Thursday and Fat Friday. War America starting up a Fat History Month. War Team Canada guest hosting yesterday, signed Matt in Vancouver. Don't know about that. I was at a commish. I don't know about Team Canada guest hosting yesterday. Is that a thing? Did that happen? Yeah, anyway, he's got a point. I mean, we are Americans, and we are pretty fat. Fat Monday, Fat Tuesday, Fat Wednesday, Fat Thursday, Fat Friday, Fat January, Fat February, Fat March, Fat 2018, Fat 2019. Right. Right. How many times do you want to beat that dead horse? Canada, we're fat. We get it. Fat. Most of us are. Anyway, you want to come up with something new, maybe. Like if I were to come here and reset the same exact takes every single day, follow that. If I came in here every single day and reset the same tired takes, the same played out takes, what would you say about me as a host? What would you say about this show? You'd say pretty weak, pretty lame, pretty lazy, pretty faded, pretty tired, pretty played out. In short, you would find something else to do with your time. So that's why I don't do that. That's why I come in here with a brand new show every single day. You, on the other hand, I come in here and I'll look at my laptop or I'll look at TweetDeck, and what do I see? The same exact takes every single day. The same lame resets. Think about that. If it's not all right for me to do, why would it be all right for you to do? Get it together. Step it up. 1-800-636-8686. And don't come in here with, yeah, Rome, but you have a lot of new listeners and a lot of new viewers, and they haven't heard my terrible joke yet. And I hope they never do. Hey, Rome. As if we should only designate one day for the absurd amount of asthma attacks and triple bypass surgeries that go on a daily basis in the United States of America. Every day is Fat Tuesday when you live on a diet of deep fried vegetables, diet soda, and bacon wrapped chocolate. War too lean, sculpted Canadians receiving large royalty checks for guest hosting the Jim Rome Show on Monday. All right, I'm going to try and put this together. It was the Canadians, Team Canada guest hosting, and they were, quote, two lean sculpted Canadians. I've already heard from Matt, and now I've heard from Tyler. Did you two knuckleheads co-host this show yesterday without my knowledge? Is that what happened? Canada, there are no new ways for you to call us fat. I know it's a big day. I know it's like a national holiday for you. Fat Tuesday for us is a national holiday for you because it's yet another reason for you to swerve way out of your lane to say we're fat. Tell me something I don't already know. That would help the show. Tell me something I didn't already know. Deep fried vegetables? You mean like tempura? You mean that? I've done that. I'll do that again. That's fun. That's good. Anyway, you know what's not fun or good? Your takes, your tweets. Man, I thought the day off would help me, and it did, until I sat back down, got back on that bike, and what did I find, man? The same garbage. What do you say we kind of reset this thing, reboot this thing, look for something better? And by reset and reboot, I mean more of me and less of you, unfortunately. Not because I love the sound of my voice, but because I love getting a paycheck. It's better for the show. More of me and less of you. So when we come back, I will share my thoughts on the Cavaliers and the Celtics. So Cleveland rebuilds on the fly. They look like a totally different team. LeBron was already saying, we are a different team. Seems like these guys have been here forever. And all of a sudden, the Celtics had a pretty bad week. Beaten down by Toronto. Beaten down by the Cavs. Hey, Paul Pierce, how'd that night go? How'd that go for you? Man, all that noise that he made that went into that. He finally gets his night. Isaiah Thomas is nowhere to be found. And they get their lights turned out. They got knocked the hell out. Can't wait to talk about that. We'll do it next. But first, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So the show is already deteriorating into a border skirmish, one that I've seen a million times before. I know how this plays out, and it's never very good. This email reads, pimp. Sometimes people call me a pimp, not because I'm a pimp. I'm a middle-aged guy with a wife and kids. Believe me, there's nothing pimp about me. But back in the day, I was the pimp in the box. The box being a radio, and I glossed. I don't remember if I glossed myself. Obviously, I didn't do that because that'd be a violation of the rules. Somebody may have glossed me the pimp in the box because I would say that I pimp all things that are good. The pimp in the box. Hey, pimp. So being fat is a bad thing? Newsflash, Canada, food tastes good. Food makes people happy. Things that are deep fried taste good. Then again, I guess you only get so much meat off a dead squirrel. Mix in a cow or a pig every once in a while. Eh? Signed, Jeff from 919, Team America. War fairground food. War eating. All right, to be fair, and I hate for this thing to deteriorate into some kind of playground deal. And I'm never a guy who would say, yeah, well, he started it. Except Canada, you really did start it. You did take the first punch. Normally, you don't. Normally, you don't. And that's part of what I like and respect about you. You normally don't throw a sucker punch or take the first punch. But you did. You did. So you're kind of on your own in this one. Just know there's the host of the show. This is not, I'm not going to let this deteriorate into Team Canada versus Team USA. I am Switzerland. I'm a proud American. Don't get me wrong. But I just assume that we not have this fight. There are reasons to go, and us being fat is not a reason to go. Fat. Normally I'm saying Canada, Canada, don't get hooked. Don't take the bait. Now I'm telling all of my brethren, Team USA, don't take the bait. Don't get hooked. Let's talk sports. We can talk about the Olympics. We can talk about the NBA post-trade deadline. Pitchers and catchers reporting. We can do all these things. The problem is every email is from Canada. which makes no sense to me. This radio program has over 200 stations nationwide. I'll be honest, I don't know the exact number, and I probably should before I speak, but I'm going to guess that we have under 10 stations in Canada. Probably 6 or 7, right? Or 5 or 8. Why is it that every email I'm seeing is from Canada when we have hundreds of stations in the U.S.? Like this guy. Hey, Rome, the best part of an American winning a gold medal is watching them try to eat it, hoping that there's chocolate inside. Lee in Vancouver. You know what the worst part is, my fellow Americans? They're winning. They're winning right here. Right now, they are winning. At least on this event. In this event, the jungle, they are winning. They've got the top 3 spots on the medal stand. Rome, Canadians calling, can I have my freaking show back? I'm not going to sit here and go, tit for tat, you're fat. Yeah, but you're weak. God, do I want to talk sports? I have never wanted to talk sports more than I want to talk sports right now. All right, I'll read one more and then we move on. Rome, Canadians calling America fat is nice, especially when you consider the source. Their most beloved movie star was John Candy. R.I.P. The only foods associated with Canada are round bacon and maple syrup. Oh, and their favorite store is Tim Hortons, a freaking donut shop. So yeah, Canada, we're fat, but you're just as fat and still have the queen on your money. Now go put on your flannel hats and learn how to play a sport that's not on ice. Dan in Richmond. Y'all have had your fun. Let's move on. Let's talk about the NBA. Now, it might be Tuesday. Come on, Rome. We want to call them fat some more. You know what? Here's the deal. You can. You can. As always, there are multiple shows taking place. You want to call somebody fat, do it on Twitter. I don't condone it at all, by the way. I'm not encouraging it. I'm not condoning it. But what I am saying is stop doing it here. Just do it over there. Run your own show over there. Scope all your horrible fat takes. Tweet all your horrible fat takes. Do it over there. Do it over there. Because I'm doing my show right here. Now, again, it might be Tuesday. But you best believe that I'm going to double back to Sunday for a second. You think I'm going to let an all-out Cavs wax job of the Celtics just bleed out on the cutting room floor because I was in my basement yesterday? Hell freaking no. Not when the Cavs absolutely detonated their team an hour before the trade deadline last week, and then they roll the new dudes right through Beantown 2 days later, and they straight cold-cocked Boston. Tell me you weren't surprised that the rebooted Cavs mopped the Celtics by 22. And I'll tell you, you are a liar. You didn't see that coming. Nobody saw that coming. No one saw George Hill, Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, and Rodney Hood all combine to pump in 49 points their very first night on the floor with LeBron. But it happened. And I'll tell you something else that happened. The Cavs held an opponent under triple digits for only the third time since Christmas. So again, I said it on Friday. I said they were better. I already knew they were better. Without even seeing them on the floor, I knew they were better. I didn't know how much better, but I did know this. They were going to be much better defensively because any defense would have been better than the defense the Cavs were playing because they haven't played defense all year long. And just being in the neighborhood of decent on that side of the ball was going to be a monumental upgrade. And that's where they're living now. The Undefeated dropped an article yesterday that detailed some game moments or some moments after that game on Sunday. Apparently, GM Kobe Altman was so jacked up, he waited outside the locker room to dap up his new squad after they walked off the floor. And the article also has J.R. Smith yelling, "We got a bleeping squad now." So dude, by the way, we met the dude behind that. Adam Hawk. So, dude, this predates you. Go ahead. Go to the camera. Put your cans on. Let's see what horrible shirt you're wearing. Well, I'm not even going to look. If you're watching on TV right now, my eyes are closed. I predict Hawk buttoned it all the way up. Let's see. Yes, of course. Well, anyway, I'm not going to ask you why you do that. Our man's name was Ford, right?
Ford, yeah.
Ford, and Ford is CBS-based.
Yes, he is.
Ford was the one who composed that song.
Yeah.
We had never met the guy behind the song.
Right, and then we met him in the Mall of America green room right behind the food court in Minnesota. It was great.
And I tried to explain to him, dude, you have no idea. Keep that up, Albie. You have no idea how awesome that song is and what that's meant to us and how much mileage we've gotten out of that and what kind of content that's been. I mean, bro, that's genius. That's brilliant. Did you know about that, Hawk, before you got here?
No.
That song?
I don't even know what this song is. It's J.R. Smith singing?
Anyway, you're dismissed, Hawk.
Thank you.
Sorry I brought it up. I don't even know what this song is. What this song is incredible. What I just did by bringing Hawk onto the program was a poor choice by me. Come on, Pigeon, you're better than that. You were there when we had the conversation with this guy. What do you mean you don't know what this is? So wrong, Hawk, man. I'm going to have Ford, and you know what Ford said to me? He goes, hey, you know, if you guys ever have an idea for something and you want me to make or compose something else, I might be up for that. If you have the right idea, just give me some heads up. I said, Ford, absolutely. It's going to be hard to top that. You might want to walk off on that. But if I get an idea, I definitely will get that to you. And it just came to me. Why don't you write a song about how wrong Hawk is? J.R. Swish is so right. And now you can write about how wrong Hawk is. Anyway, Swish. Swish joyfully dropping F-bombs and saying, we got a bleeping squad now. That might have been the highlight of the night. The low light of the night, though, had to be the truth. Paul Pierce, all blazered up, waiting to hang his gamer in the rafters as his former team got curb stomped in front of 20,000 totally disengaged fans. Or at least what was left of the 20,000 totally disengaged fans. Now, you remember about a month back, this guy did not want to share a single second of his night with Isaiah Thomas. I'm pretty sure my man would have given the entire ceremony to IT after the Celtics laid down on his night and sucked all the air right out of that joint. I mean, did you see this guy's face? Did you see this guy's face? Looked like Laramie Tunsil on draft night. One of the best nights of his life had just turned into one of the worst nights of his life. And maybe you start to wonder if karma took an enormous bite out of this guy for using up 40 minutes on the blower to make sure that Danny Ainge did not allow IT a video tribute on the very same night. Remember that whole thing? But the better question probably is not about karma. The better question is, who the hell scheduled the jersey retirement for after the game? I mean, how many different ways have the Celtics screwed this thing up from the very jump? And then when they finally figure it out, and he's going to get his own night, and IT is not only off the Cavs, he's out of the conference altogether, and they finally get it, and they think they have it, they schedule it for after the game. Who does that? And against the Cavs of all teams. You know, maybe the Suns, if they're rolling through town. Maybe you bank a win, and then you have the ceremony after the game. But the Cavs, a team that you're dealing with in the East, a motivated team. The Cavs. Yeah, great idea. The entire fourth quarter was garbage time, and you were on the wrong side of it. People were leaving the building. They were so disgusted by the effort, they couldn't even stay and wait through it to honor their guy. Arguably the greatest Celtic of them all. Not named Bill Russell. Or Bob Cousy. Or John Havlicek. Or JoJo White. Well, maybe above that. You see me working. They couldn't even wait. People left the building. And the truth just sat there watching fans hit the exits, wondering why the hell they didn't just hang his shirt at halftime when it was still a 12-point game. Worst planning ever. Hey, I'd say you'll get him next time, Truth. You'll get him next time. but there isn't going to be a next time. That was a once-in-a-career moment, totally ruined, and again, by awful planning. I mean, Danny Ainge, I got to admit, this guy's a genius. You know, I was wrong when I said they should have made a move. This guy stole Kyrie Irving. I mean, Danny Ainge is unbelievable. And I literally take back virtually almost anything. And mostly I've been positive about Danny Ainge's whole career. I was critical before a trade deadline, and he was right and I was wrong. But somebody's asleep at the wheel here. How do you plan that thing after a game? Hey, but again, hey, you know me. I'm all about keeping it positive. I'm all about seeing everything as the glass is half full, not half empty. At least there wasn't a video tribute to IT. You got that going for you, Truth. At least it was all your night. IT wasn't even in the building because he doesn't play for the Cavs anymore. Bad night all the way around. And in terms of where that leaves the two of these teams, from a basketball standpoint, I get it. It's only one game. Then again, maybe it's not only one game. Boston does not have any reinforcements coming. Cleveland now has theirs. And most importantly, LeBron is rejuvenated. LeBron is re-energized. And after they carved out some of that cancer from that locker room and they dumped a bunch of their dead weight, as I said last week, LeBron no longer hates coming to work. And since he no longer hates coming to work, the rest of us no longer hate watching them work. They are definitely better. Now it's just a question of how much better. They were dead in the water a week ago, and now they look like they at least have a run in them, especially in the East. At least LeBron will have one last run in him before he bounces once again. So this thing's getting interesting all of a sudden. Except not for the truth. People leaving before it went up in the rafters. Let's do this thing after the game. If you're going to do that after the game, why don't you pick a game you know you're going to win? And then everybody can have a great time. 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, let's go to Michigan. Andy in Michigan. Andy, what's up? Good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Romy?
What's up?
Hey, I just got this Rolex Submariner for my 20th anniversary for work. I got no idea what to do with this damn thing. You know, I'm not a watch guy. Am I better off selling it now? Should I throw it in the closet? Sell it in 25 years? What the heck do I do with it?
Dude, what a great question. And I'm not an expert on this, but I do have an opinion. Let me ask you one thing. So after 20 years, they gave you that watch. I mean, doesn't that watch mean something to you because you put 20 years in, or no? You have no emotional attachment to it?
Well, yeah, I guess, but that's a small part of it. So, But let's face it, I'm never going to wear it. So
why? Why would you never wear that?
Cash money.
Can't you break that thing out on a special occasion, or you just don't care?
It's not my style.
I got
you. I don't care.
I see you. All right, let me help you with that. Let me list my answer. Put them on hold real quick. My answer to this is, number one, don't tell people about the Submariner that the company bought you. It's a Submariner. So you're going to be a dead giveaway if you don't get that right. I respect you saying it's not my style, it's not my thing, I'm never going to wear it. I mean, that'd be like somebody saying, hey, you know, you've been an amazing employee, here's a Benz. Well, I'm never going to drive that thing. It's too good for me. It's not my style. Here's the thing. Andy, that watch, if you turn around and sell that watch, make sure you keep the box, make sure you keep the certificate, make sure you keep all the paperwork. The watch is not worth nearly as much if you don't keep it with all the paperwork and the box that it comes with. Number two, if you buy and hold that watch and you keep it, it will appreciate in value. Rolexes do not go down, but you're not going to get rich doing that. That's not going to be Bitcoin. If you keep that watch, it's not going to turn into tenfold. If you don't want to sell it, for sure. Did you retire? Because they're going to be awfully pissed that they threw down, because that's not an inexpensive watch. That's going to run you a few grr, that watch. All right, so I know enough to know. I'm not an expert, but I know enough to know. Hope that helps. Hour number two next, John Smoltz and Damian Lillard at the top.